Put your headphones on and plug in. You're listening to Soundbox Reviews First Effect with Bolivar T. Cáceres and Blair Kerr. Soundbox Reviews is a blog and podcast that provides news and reviews on newly released tracks so listeners can contemplate if a song is worth their time. First Effect is a branch off, giving listeners Bolivar T. Cáceres and Blair Kerr's first impressions on newly released tracks with a kick. To check out our latest review and podcast on Pink Venom by Blackpink, visit soundbox-reviews at blogspot.com. Without further mixing, let's skip over to Soundbox Reviews First Effect with Bolivar T. Cáceres and Blair Kerr, Season 1, Episode 4, There Goes the Neighborhood by Underdog.
This episode brought to you by Ying Yang Productions, where order and chaos creates art. By Yin Yang Productions. Balance delivered.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'd just like to welcome you aboard today's flight.
Hey!
It's been a while. Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Soundbox Radio.
So, bro, how you been? How's everything going?
Chilling, you know, like a villain, relaxing, getting these millions.
Oh, no, man. That sounds amazing, actually.
No, I'm just making ends meet. We're making it work.
Nice.
Surviving. Survival of the fittest.
All that. Yeah. All that good stuff.
All that.
All right, bro, so you're ready? The paperboy is here.
What?
The news. I got that news, baby. Some music news straight from the paperboy. Ready?
Sure. Let's go.
All right. Then let's get smoking.
Shazam.
News with Believer Cassidus and Blair Curran. Soundbox Reviews.
All right, bro. So you're ready? The paperboy is here.
What?
The news. I got that news, baby. Some music news straight from the paperboy. Ready?
Sure. Let's go.
All right. Then let's get smoking.
Shazam.
News with Believer Cassidus and Blair Curran. Soundbox Reviews.
In music news, there's a lot been going on, a lot of funny stuff, a lot of great music coming out right now. And I always feel like when it comes to the fall, especially September, October is where good music comes out.
I agree.
Yeah, you feel the same way?
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, we had Jid do his first NPR Tiny Desk. Were you able to check that out?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely very underrated artist, I think. Like, he is a name that is brought up, but at the same time, maybe I fully haven't done my homework, or I've always just disregarded him from early on, thinking he was just like a Kendrick clone or something.
It was something that I can't stop listening to, and I agree with you. He has been underrated, but I think he came out with a Mike Tyson punch with this one.
Yeah.
And talking about good music, staying in line with that, Kenny Beats, we mentioned that he released his album in episode 3, and I had a chance to listen to it. It's just a smooth album, very classical hip-hop, something you can just play in the background, and there's a little bit of skits in there. I'm playing that interchangeably with Jid's NPR Tiny Desk right now.
No, yeah, that Kenny Beats, like, I didn't even know it was Kenny Beats. Like, that's how, I'm not saying that, you know, he's great, but it's like, it was so just like quintessential hip hop, old school sound. I'm like, what are you playing? Like,
right.
MF Doom, Madlib type beat. And it's like, nah, it's all Kenny Beats. It's like, what? Like, that sounded like a radio station, bro. I felt like you went on Pandora. Every song sounded like a whole different thing, but it's still in line. And you're just like, yo. You could just have Kenny Beats radio and literally just only have that on repeat, and you would think you're still listening to new shit.
Right.
And it's like just back to back to back, just flow.
What I really liked about it too is I came into it expecting him to do like collabs, almost like on.
Yeah, I was like, where's the features? Where's this and that? And it's like, nah, I just want y'all to hear what I want y'all to hear.
Yeah. Now, the U.S. Space Force just released their song, and I guess it's supposed to sound American, you know, supposed to inspire you to traverse the universe.
That shit is kind of goofy. And it's like, but you know it's supposed to be like that when it's, you know, oh, anthem of this thing, anthem of that. If it's some, they ain't going to hire no fucking tasteful musical people and be like, yo,
Space I felt Force. Like I was listening to some Nazi, like some Korean dictator.
North Korean, fucking Kim Jong, whoever. You know, space is the place. Let's go.
We have R. Kelly and his ongoing issues. I guess, I wonder what your thoughts are about this, but his prison account, money that he's saved up or have in his commissary, I think he has $30,000. Will be used to pay for victims and, like, you know, used as a restitution. What are your thoughts on that?
What's the amount?
$30,000 he has.
Bro,
in his.
Yeah. Why would he just have $30,000? Like, that's not nothing compared to probably what he ever made.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Yeah, but it's like, you knew that it was going to try to get it some way or another. Like, they, you know.
Yeah, he tried to keep it.
I did not think they were going to still try to keep getting stuff from you.
And I just also feel like, this is what news tends to focus on, right? And go back to, we were just talking about Bjork and, like, showing our excitement. Bjork is...
News with Believer Cassidus and Blair Curran. Soundbox Reviews.
Get ready to listen to the supersonic sounds of Boston's very own Underdog with gut-shaking hits from their new album, Ether Dome. Together for the first time in album format, Scott Ferguson, Brent Carlson, Tom Kelly, are up and hit songs like Susie My Dear, There Goes the Neighborhood, Underground Rock Band Blues, and so much more. Available on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and everywhere you listen to music. Just turn on your radio. But why wait? Get yourself a hard copy of Ether Dome today. For only $10.
Have you had a chance to listen to Underdog's song, There Goes the Neighborhood?
I think your cat took a poop. And they hit her right on the mark, bro. That under, you hear the name Underdog, you hear that song, it sounds like the Underdogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, humble dudes, because that's, you know, could be in any, you know, rock playlist and just like blend right in, fit in to the mix.
I agree with you here. The song is really cool. You really get this vibe from just the song about the artist, that they're like cool, humble guys. You know, they're just out to make some rock music. And I think There Goes the Neighborhood is a great example of what they present in their whole album, Ether Dome. Just fun, full of passion, full of energy. I hate to be so trite about it, but it just straight rocks, man.
For sure, I agree. And, you know, we're talking about it a bit and how it really feels like it can fit into a Tony Hawk soundtrack, or, you know, a little montage scene in like a, you know, maybe like a high school angst, you know, teen movie. And it's like they're kind of in that pocket of sound, like, you know, growing up, but they're already there and they're just like, you know, leading the way, like, hey, come on, let's go, okay, it's time to rock.
I kind of have the same feeling of this kind of every time I listen to their songs, it's like rock, almost like Richard Linklater type of movie. You know, he directed School of Rock, he directed Slackers, those type of indie coming of age stories. When I hear their music, I receive that vibe.
You feel like you're pulling from life, and you're like, oh, what is the soundtrack to my life? Who's gonna lead the way? Who's gonna show me how to be a badass? You know,
right? And it's Underdog, and it's Ether Dome, and they're gonna show you the way. You gotta listen to it. I think it's a very cool album, and it's one of those albums that you can just play in the background. But what also it kind of sets up a different vibe. Like if you kind of down, or if, you know, your environment's kind of stale, like I feel, put on Underdog, put on There Goes the Neighborhood, put on Susie My Dear. You know, you put on one of these tracks and you're just like, your energy goes up. I think it's all packaged well and just gives you that great feeling of nostalgia. And I think a lot of what sets the mood right with Underdog is how eclectic their sound is, how they're bringing in so many different vibes. You have this grunge feel, this garage feel, this punk feel, this kind of like we're talking about, this West Coast skater feel, but it's also indie rock and heavy metal, and it's also hard rock. And I just think all that blending in with the lyrics being so thought-provoking, so often talking about hippie culture, often talking about just being free and finding peace. And you find that kind of those ideas here in There Goes the Neighborhood.
Like, if they were a legacy act of some sort, this is the soundtrack for that. Like, oh, we want to hear that, you know, that Underdog, put that album on, and this is it.
Right.
You know, Mm-hmm. Name any group that you like, and it's like you'll remember a specific album and be like, oh, that's how I got into them. It's like, you think Underdog, you wouldn't even know they were Underdogs if they didn't call themselves Underdogs. Like, you would literally think they're just, you know, in the mix with all these other bigger bands or same range bands or even more underground than them, more underdog than them, and you're just like, yo, they're living proof. Like, you know, rock is not dead.
And although I love the name Underdog, they're definitely, like you're saying,
a great name.
They're not underdogs
by any means.
And I think one thing you said is that they're purists, and I agree with that.
I consider them that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And in a way, also, if we can stay in the ist kind of idea, they're naturalist, mm-hmm. right? Their sound sounds live. Their sound sounds like at home.
You know, they're really in the studio or in the garage or, you know, in open air, just like really jamming out. Maybe, you know, have some beers in hand or, you know, smoking something. Who knows? Not like, oh, we just decided we're going to be a band. All our instrumentals come straight from the internet and we're just going to lay, you know, vocals over it. No, you know, they're really doing this. Like,
right.
you know what's dope about them? They look like their music. Like, you know, the package, like when we're talking like the package presentation, all that, it's like, you see the guys and like, this is them, you don't have to wonder, like, I wonder how they sound.
Right.
You kind of get it.
It's unintentional too, I believe, maybe, hopefully, I don't know. But like, if it's not unintentional, it's smooth.
They just naturally ooze style. Like, I don't think they're really trying to put on an act or nothing. It's like, yep.
Right.
You know?
It's just so cool. I know I can use better words, but like, does there need to be a better word than cool? Like, it's just so cool.
There's no explanation needed. Look. What? Who was it? Was it Bryn who says, like, we're trying to make it sound cool, man? It's like, you know.
Right.
You're not trying. You're doing it.
You're doing it. Right. It's working. It's amazing. I want to skate right now and listen to Underdog.
Yeah, their album would definitely be, you know, on our iPod or something, you know, back in the day.
Right, right.
If we knew about them sooner, it'd be, you know, have a little skate sesh, you know, go down to a skate park or just street skate cruise, you know.
And listen to some Underdog. Oh, man. All this talk about Underdog, let's just hear from the boys.
You mean Shoeshine Boy?
No, bro. I mean, the interviews recorded with Scott and Brent from Underdog.
Oh, that's ready for this episode?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
I don't know, just saying.
You crazy, man.
What do you mean?
Just forget it. Let's jump into it. Here's Soundbox Reviews First Effect with Underdog, a supersonic rock band straight out of Beantown.
Beantown. Greetings, gentlemen. Pleasure to meet you.
Hey,
honored to have you on.
Thanks.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, honored to be here. Appreciate it.
You guys just had a show recently, The Block Party. How did that go?
Honestly, it's like the first time we've gotten to play live in about a year and a half. But it went, you know, well for what it was. And, you know, kind of looking at it as a bit of a dress rehearsal for future club dates.
It was really good to be together and as a group and trying to get through the songs and, you know, making noise together. And
I feel like back in, there was once a time where rock music was the forefront. Everybody went to concerts, you know.
Yeah.
The master genre amongst them all, you know.
You know, Warped Tour, all these tours, all these festivals were just for the rock bands. And then over the last couple of years, it went to hip hop, EDM, all this stuff. You know,
everything else. Fusion of all these genres, yeah.
So how do you guys stay afloat? How do you guys stay motivated? How do you guys find those gigs?
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, we actually just got dealt another bit of bad news. The Middle East, which is pretty much a premier club here in the Boston area. It's actually over the river in Cambridge, but they're getting closed down, you know, realistically, this one club has like four active rooms, at least maybe five that have music going on. That's a significant blow to gigging musicians. And it's one of the places where, dare I say it, yeah, a rock band like us could find ourselves playing.
I would like to say that bands that are established and have a permanent lineup and are seeking gigs, I think a lot of them form alliances with one another. And so if there is an event or a club date that people can link up, and you know, if you can get a couple of bands on a bill or have an event that will allow, you know, two or three bands to show up, I think that's a good way to get things rolling. I think to me, a lot of I don't want to sound too corny, but it's like building a little network or a little community. You know, if you can,
right.
The more people you can interact with, I think that perhaps you have a better chance of, you know, being part of something, you know, a festival or a party or a club date or something. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Etherdome. Tell us about the process of creating it. You know, how long did it take you, the studio process, stuff like that?
Well, I'll give you just a snapshot. So Dog says, well, I got some songs I want to work on, or I want to record. And I said, hey, come over, let's see what we can do. And so he brings these songs over. He says, okay, here's the first song. It goes like this. Na, 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 na. Now, 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 and I need a drum beat, and I got a bass part, and I got some lyrics, and I said, okay. So we broke out the Pro Tools, and we laid down a guide,
right.
And then he threw down a vocal. Mm-hmm. So there we had something to guide us, and then you know, and then I guess the next thing we do is throw down a drum part, mm-hmm. and then he goes and puts a bass part on there, and then. And then he said, okay, we need a lead guitar. So, you know, 20 takes later, oh, let's keep that one. That sounds good. And then, you know, that's basically how we did the songs.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about what I insist upon doing is that I want a top down performance. In other words, once the song begins, you're playing through the entire song. I'm not doing any punch-ins. I'm right. not editing my part.
Just want it to flow.
I just want, right. yeah. And plus, I like to listen to all kinds of different music, but in jazz in particular. And I think a lot of those old jazz recordings in the 50s and 60s, I think they would do like multiple takes of the same tune, and they were all together in the same room,
mm-hmm.
and then they would choose like the best track. So those right. performances were like, okay, we're starting the tune, we go all the way through the tune, and we record it. And mm-hmm. there's no punch-ins or overdubs and stuff like that. And so I kind of dig that kind of feel.
Question: yeah. You guys usually work in a way where you're building up the body of music, and then you're naming stuff as you go, or you oftentimes already have, you know, a song theme, an idea of what a song might be called, or just let's say you have the title of what you want your album to be, such as, you know, Etherdome, and then you build it up.
You know, it's definitely not any sort of like concept album, and I didn't sit there and think like, gee, these are the songs that need to be on the album. It's kind of fortunately a situation in this case where they were like the 12 songs that we managed to get recorded before yeah. we ended up having to go into hibernation. You know, the title, honestly, the Etherdome is a location. It's a place in Boston. It's the first place technically where ether was used for a operation. Actually, I wanted to take the cover photo of us in there because it's a kind of cool looking room, but you can go and take as many pictures as you want. You just can't publish them because it's...
Oh, I see.
Quite oh, wow.
Whatever. So then we had to go find another somewhat cool, relevant image, and like I didn't really know how I was going to come up with that, but we did, thanks to NASA. you know, NASA, they were like really cool. Not only did they not charge us any money, I remember just saying, do you want us to credit you guys or anything? And they were like, yeah, sure, you could do that. And I was like, okay, that's pretty easy going. you'd figure for NASA, right? But, you know, the songs again were, you know, I would love to say that we had it like well mapped out, and even the one that we're working on now, it's not necessarily well mapped out.
I like that approach because I sometimes feel too much structure or using too much, like in the case of tool, like the new softwares, using all that or even over planning can like stifle the creativity.
The artistry of production has risen to such an incredible level that you can make this sonic, landscape. And you're right. I think sometimes I find it like, wow, I've heard this sound a lot because it's what's trendy and hip in the production world today.
Mm-hmm.
And our thing isn't like that.
No. You don't have to name all of them, but let us know some of the influence, the bands or musicians or sounds that influence Etherdome.
To me, it's always interesting when I hear people, reference what the influences are. We've heard all sorts of stuff from people that have listened to the songs, and I'm thinking, I love those bands, but I don't hear any of that necessarily in the music. And it's people like, Iggy and the Stooges and the MC5, and people talking about London punk bands from the 70s, and it's all great stuff. I'm really heavy into 60s music. Brin's talked already a lot about some of his, I think his musical influences are far broader than mine. I grew up playing classical music, so in some way, there's that in there too.
But the sound of the band, I think, reflects the artists who are in the group. Because the way I play drums, is based upon, how I've developed when I first started out as a kid, and all the experience I've had in the learning and the growth as a drummer and also as a guitar player.
Pretty much traveling on the same vibe here, and it's nice because, I would say we're sort of like, with that thing of like 50% of what we're into, we're both into, and then that other 50%, we're both bringing in all this other stuff. Again, I'm all about, the things like the bagpipes and the sitar, and he's definitely got a better foot in jazz and probably more like world music stuff.
You guys were talking about the perfection you guys aim for during the creation of music. And it reminds me of Stanley Kubrick and all the stories with Stanley Kubrick, how he does 1,000 takes and all that stuff. And if you look at Stanley Kubrick films, he's one of the greatest filmmakers. He's technical, he has all this energy and all that stuff. But I think part of it, what makes those films so great and what makes him so great, is that he stormed through the hardest parts of making the films. And so my question for you guys is, what were the hardest parts of making Etherdome, and how did you guys weather the storm?
The hardest part was getting a part that sounded cool.
It all sounds cool, man. Come on.
Yeah. And as much as I know, because we led off with that statement about, being perfectionists, and I'm sure a lot of people would laugh listening to the record because it is definitely not perfect in many, many ways, but there's a point where you just got to go, it's done.
It was meant to be like.
Right. You could spend the rest of your life working on one song and it will still never be perfect.
You'll never be finished.
Right.
My attitude.
You got to understand when to, all right, that was that. What's next?
Right. And, I think I may have consciously made the idea of like, let's keep these songs simple because we don't need to be struggling with a whole lot of stuff simultaneously. Let's songs that we can really like get down quickly, execute fairly easily.
I just wonder if you guys want to share anything you're working on, if you want to talk more about the album that's coming up, anything that you want to talk about, use these last couple minutes just to share it with us.
Sure. Well, again, we're hoping to have, as soon as possible.
Let's get this party started.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Paramount Plus.
Woo!
This is
strokes of genius, beautiful games, and one shining moment. This is Defenders, Investigators, and
Seven Strangers Picked to Live in a House.
This is Young SpongeBob, Young Sheldon, and Younger. This is everything you've been looking for.
That's gonna leave a mark.
Live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment.
All right.
This is Paramount Plus, now streaming.
Yeah, so we're talking about Underdog's music and how they're so nostalgic. But I think something else that's really kind of crazy is that rock artists have to compete with a lot of other genres. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about hip-hop and you talk about EDM, for example. You talk about R&B, all these other genres. And at one point, I feel that rock music was number one. You know, people went out to see any type of rock song, rock music, you know? And I think like rock music now may be struggling to compete with all that, even on social media, you know? How do you feel about it? What are your thoughts on that?
I'll put it this way. If we look at it like a big three situation, not even big three, but like, let's say like music, we have classical, you know, all the oldies, whatever, jazz, rock, rap, right? Putting these as staples, like pinnacles in music, arches that are showing like, oh, this is a peak. This is like a high height, right? I'm not saying other music genres don't exist, but like when we're talking like really take over, everybody's listening to it, everybody wants a piece of it, right? Most of these genres, you know, they'll start off with a certain, you know, base of people creating it, and then it'll evolve, it'll mutate over time. And the latest mutation of what rock music is, like, I'm not saying, all right, hip-hop rap is its own genre, but at the same time, we're thinking back, all right, jazz, rock, if not for jazz and rock, together, rap wouldn't exist. And then if we look at rap and say, oh, now the rap artists are trying to either go more the conscious jazzy route and have like these loopy instrumentals that sound, you know, really throwback with like these crazy, what do they call it when they do like the little samples and shit. And then rock within rap music now too, where a lot of these artists, they're going back and digging in their rock influence bag, and maybe they didn't come up that way, maybe they didn't feel that way. But then they're like, oh, like, this is how to evolve it once again, to let it come full circle.
I think that's one way rock music stays alive. I mean, you look, you're talking about the pillars of music being classical, rap, rock, you know, and jazz. And when you think about it, these genres or these movements are pillars because they can last a long time and they can, you know, weather the storm or whatnot.
They transcend.
And when hip hop started using jazz, they were going crazy. And then when Beastie Boys started using the wah pedal and their turntables, people were going even more crazy.
The rock element back around to the hip hop genre.
You're right. And I think that's
there never had to be a separation. It just was new ideas going through new minds and new faces and new generations, re-emphasizing the push forward, that leap.
So there's no rap music, there's no rock music, there's just music.
When it comes to Underdog once again and the state of rock music, do you think some of their growth that can occur, like even as great as we think they are, just where they are right now, whether or not that's the right path for them, who knows, right? Only history will tell what their sound is if they evolve into a new sound. But I would really think that we would enjoy seeing what they would make if they weren't making the music they're making. I don't know, do something like what the Doors did. Put some little sprinkle background music, like You in the Rain, Rioters on the Storm. Like,
what I would enjoy is for them to experiment, like I know they can, with the sounds they enjoy, right? So Brent enjoys listening to, Brent is very eclectic. He likes to listen to like Indian sounds, and he likes to listen to all these other sounds. And Scott, he likes, you know, he has the classical background. He was telling us that he played in the drum line. So like they have this knowledge of all these instruments that they can play between them.
Bring back the roots and recompute it into a new, you know.
And Scott was talking about OG Pink Floyd with Sid at the helm being one of his inspirations. And when you go back to OG Pink Floyd, man, that's all they were doing, right? They were experimenting with synths. They were experimenting with all these background sounds, you know? And I think you're right. Like, I think maybe that would be cool. Just like, yo, throw a bonus track in there that's 8 minutes long with a little orchestral background, all done by Scott and Bryn.
Have a spoken word poetry segment. And just have the classical piano or some type of like, you know, low key drum beat going and just see what comes out.
I think you're right. And, you know, we're talking about the state of rock music, and it's not dead when you have artists like Underdog still alive. And
as long as there's people still in the genre, still creating the music genre appropriate, then nothing is dead. It's, you know, just trying to make it sound cool, man.
So, man, yeah, we talked about Underdog, you know, we met the guys, really, really dope dudes.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about their musicality. We talked about There Goes the Neighborhood and their first album, Ether Dome. I mean, we even touched base on where they stand in rock music and where they stand in contemporary times.
Yeah, we covered a bunch of stuff.
With all that, it's time to give them some boom boxes, give them a rating.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them a 4.5.
See, that's what I was gonna do.
So it's unanimous, 4.5 for There Goes the Neighborhood and for Ether Dome the album. My reason for it is I just know there can be more, and not in a bad way, but there can do more in their sound, in their experimentation, in everything they're doing. And I almost feel the next album, if they give us the pleasure to review it, it's going to be a 5, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because just talking to the guys, you can tell they learned a lot from this first album.
Yeah, definitely 4.5 is a strong boombox, you know, grade. And one day we'll have that perfect score from them. Like, we know it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's all about just keeping at it. Keeping the pedal to the metal, you know.
Exactly. Make sure you guys go to underdog.rocks, check out their website. Make sure you go there. You can check out some videos. They have links to their YouTube, their Facebook. You can connect with them. You can book them as well. Also, a great thing they have on that website that they don't have on, a lot of musicians don't have on their website, is lyrics. So,
all right, so you already know, Blair Timothy Kerr, your boy, aka The Arsonist. And you can follow me at Arson, that's ARSENX_27 on Instagram, amongst other things. You know where to find it. And I have an art book. Cop It, which has been out for some time now, actually predates Doomsday 2012 craze, all that shit. You should pick it up. Cop It, 100 plus pages worth of art. You know where to find it. Get that on Amazon. Blair T. Kerr Art. Cop It. The end.
Yo, it's the kid. It's your boy. It's Bali, the fraud mastermind. You know. Bolivar T. Casadas. And you guys can find me at Bolivar T. Cáceres on social media. Check out my poetry, my artwork, all that I'm doing at btcart.co. And if you like some poetry, you can buy my poetry book Outside My Garret Window, available on Amazon, Bolivar T. Cáceres.
Cop it.
It's $9.99.
Cop it.
It's a great buy. Got some cool art in it as well.
Cop it. You know where to find it.
But yeah, thank you for listening to Soundbox. You know, we always appreciate your time, your ears, and peace, love.
This episode is brought to you
Take care.
By Ying Yang Productions, where order and chaos creates art. By Ying Yang Productions, balance delivered.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed Season 1, Episode 4 on There Goes the Neighborhood by Underdog. We enjoyed creating this episode for you all. In the comments below, tell us what you think about Underdog, and tell us your thoughts on their album Etherdome, available at underdog.rocks. If you have a song you want us to review, DM us at Twitter, Soundbox Reviews, that's box with an O. We also provide interviews, so reach out, and we'll help out. Make sure to check out our website for all your musical review needs at soundbox-review@blogspot.com. And please, like, subscribe, follow, share, care, love, hold us in your arms. Until next time, our friends, take care.